As in previous years, I got to be an election inspector in 2020. It was a responsibility I really liked taking on. But this year I took on a little more than I expected. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Peter Healy, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Being an election inspector is different in different states. I live in New York, and it involves training, signing a few papers, showing that you're an eligible resident, and taking on responsibility for the full election day and taking on any additional duties that crop up. The training is actually pretty easy. You go to a hotel ballroom or a conference center or even the chambers of a court, and instructors walk you through all of the different procedures that you'll be going through taking in potential voters. Voters are not registering with you. All you're doing is a functional amount of verification that they are who they say they are, and then helping them vote as they need to. To that end, most of the training is pretty straightforward. What takes up the most time of the 3 hours that you're getting trained is dealing with weird cases, specific legal issues that may crop up, like a person not being registered but being a resident of the county, or if their registration has lapsed, or even, in extremely rare cases, a judge is involved in allowing this person to vote. Going through this sort of training feels a lot like air crew, where you get instructions on what to do about a whole variety of emergency situations on a plane, but in fact, most of your time, pretty much all of your career, is not going to have any of that go on. I first started signing up as an election inspector a few years ago when I saw that I could step forward, volunteer to do the work, and even actually get paid for it, while also feeling a connection to civic life that I hadn't really had in decades before. The actual process of government function, of the environment and civilization that keeps us together in a social space, is actually in many ways very simple, very rote. A number of rules, a number of assumptions, and then dealing with the populace who itself has variant amounts of education about what they are to do in their role. As someone who moved up through the tech industry, where we spend a lot of time boiling down human processes into numbers and letters and functions, it's rather refreshing to go about it a different way. The function of a government is to serve its people, and so understanding how people work becomes a critical part of everything you're doing. Boiled down even further, Election Day is a customer service day. And there's enough of customer service in my past that it's actually something I really enjoy doing. There's few greater thrills for me than having somebody come in concerned, worried, not sure if they're going to succeed, and being part of what makes them succeed gives them the assistance in being able to vote. This particular year, there was a lot of concern because of something called poll pads, which are essentially iPads with Wi-Fi connections to voter rolls, meaning that we didn't have to have huge books of printouts to be able to verify whether or not somebody had registered to vote and to verify their information. There was concern because many of the poll workers are older and not as comfortable with technology. In fact, the poll I was assigned to had had problems a few years back where the person wasn't able to get their iPad working, and so the poll delay was a couple hours. They asked me if I was going to have any problems. I thought back to my years and years with iPads, and I said, no. A couple times between training day and election day, the election committee contacts you just to make sure you haven't bailed or there isn't something coming up. But on the whole, you are left to your own devices and expected to show up at 5 a.m. on election day. As luck would have it, my polling place was less than 300 feet from where I live. It was really easy to get up and get over there on time and help set up the polling place. There's something about walking into a civic space, knowing that you're part of an army of hundreds of workers for your county, and they themselves are part of an army of tens of thousands of workers all over the country trying to put together a free and fair election and get through all of the different procedures that have been agreed upon over the years. In our case, there are rules about where signs are put up, what kind of placement the machines have, and how the tables work to keep things sanitary and healthy and to maintain a proper distance. In my particular building, which was an elementary school, the district that we were in charge of had 1,683 possible voters, and they had, in many cases, voted early, which meant, in theory, we weren't going to get a lot of voters, or it meant we were going to get everybody else. As 6 a.m. rolled around, and we were set up with our poll pads and our machines and our voting booths, we had 25 people waiting in the cold to vote. As we opened it up, more people showed up until eventually over 200 people were in line, going down the sidewalk in very, very cold weather. It was both really inspiring, but also very worrying. We had people waiting out in the cold for an hour, and I could see hands shaking as they were putting their signatures on the poll pad. We started to snake people into the hallway of the school as best we could, but all told, it was solid voters from 6 a.m. until 1 in the afternoon. One after another, people coming in, telling us who they were, verifying them on the poll pad, and then letting them vote. The process is actually pretty simple. A person walks up to me, gives me their name. I can often find it just from that, but then also I ask them for their address. In a few rare cases, I would ask for the birth date because the fathers and the sons would come at different times in the day. There were people who were convinced they'd have to show ID, but that's not how it works in my state. You had people who were 90 years old. I had people who were voting for the very first time, and we'd all cheer them on as they went off to their booth. In terms of my own decoration, I was wearing a flag-themed suit with a top hat, a straightforward mask, and a pair of gloves that I swapped out several times in the day. The idea was safety, and I'm happy to say that every single person who walked in wore a mask. There was one situation that, looking back and comparing it to the rest of my life, I find hilarious that I was in. If a person was assisting another person in voting, they had to take an oath that said that they were going to purely assist and not in any way influence the other person's vote. And for me, a kid who had been in and out of different kinds of trouble, who had always been kind of a weird, rebellious type, it was pretty surreal the 20 or 30 times that I had to make somebody hold up their right hand and make them swear an oath that I was delivering. But life does have a lot of curves, doesn't it? Between 1 p.m. and about 6 p.m., things slowed down greatly. A lot of hours would go by where we only had a half dozen people come in. And previous experience told us that people who couldn't get out of their jobs for the day to vote would show up around 6 to 9 p.m. when the polls closed to vote, and so we would get a real crowding at the end of the day. Between 6 and 7, we had a couple dozen people come in. Things were picking up. But after 7:30 p.m., nobody ever came. In our state, if people are online for voting at 9 p.m., they have to vote. We do not ever push people away. We have somebody stand at the end of the line saying the polls are closed after 9 p.m., but everybody who was online, whether it's one person or 1,000, gets to vote. We stay as long as we need to. But for that last 90 minutes, not a single person came in. My district had finished voting. It's a little difficult for me to figure out the exact numbers of who came in when and how many people had voted before and what percentage of my district voted. But in total, about 675 people had walked into the door of this elementary school, and I had met them, and they had voted. For some people, I only had to type in the first letter of their last name to start matching them up as a voter who hadn't voted yet. That tells me the percentages were very, very high. Having somebody walk up, tell me a little bit about themselves, put their name down, and then wishing them well, once again showed me why I love doing this. It's such a connection to my neighbors, to the people I pass in the street, to folks who I otherwise would never interact with my working at home and focused so much on the internet. There's not a lot of opportunity for me to just hang out or even meet a whole lot of people. This is that one time that I do, when without any preamble, I just meet person after person after person, look into their eyes, and encourage them to play a part in deciding our future. Maybe my realization of all this is very late stage compared to others. I was not a civic-minded kid. I wasn't somebody who was part of scouts or 4-H clubs or any sort of organizations that put children in connection with government. But here, in my older, gray-haired days, I've truly enjoyed playing the part that I did. I have found solace in knowing that people are people, that we want our voices heard, and if that strange, human-oriented customer service job lets me feel that for one day, I wouldn't trade it for anything. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Emilio Oliveira, Forrest Fuqua, James Bakoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Scott McGrady, Scott Roseanne, Wayne Arthurton, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. This experience does come with an unfortunate coda. A week before I served as an inspector, I had gotten a COVID test to make sure that I wasn't going to get anything that would spread to my coworkers. After my day of work, I checked into a hotel for 1 week, during which I played an awful lot of Oculus, hung around, and wrote up a bunch of emails, and generally was bored. After a week, I came home, took another COVID test, and discovered that I was positive. That I had joined millions of people in having some strain of COVID-19. A lot goes through your mind when you test positive for a disease that has proven deadly for a lot of people. You start to quickly focus down on what is important to you, the people who you'll miss, the tasks and jobs you haven't yet done that you were hoping to, and most of all, you spend a lot of time focusing on any potential symptom you may be showing during the period of time that you'll be in quarantine. I spent the recommended 10 days in lockdown in 2 rooms in my apartment, shifting between them to sleep and to work, and never once going outside. I discovered a lot about myself during those 10 days. I had always thought myself as a Olympic-level shut-in, that I could stay in a room for a month and never once feel like I had to go outside in the sun. This turns out not to be the case. After taking 5 miles of walking every single day, having that lost and not being able to connect with the outside, even if it was only for an hour a day, was drastically affecting my mental and emotional health. I started to feel disconnected from everyone, and I was worried for myself, for the people who care about me, and for what it all meant. As it stands, and time will tell, I appear to have gotten off rather lightly. My lungs were not affected. I don't seem to have a terrible cough. I don't have reduced energy. I certainly don't seem to have any lingering, terrible effects. But what it does show is that I probably caught it meeting so many people working the election day. And while it may seem rather light and easy to say, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change a thing. I was very cautious throughout the year, and this was a risk. It was a risk I took willingly, and it was a risk I would gladly take again.